Show me the money.
That's it, brother. But you got to yell that.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
That, of course, is a clip from the classic Tom Cruise, Renee Zellweger, Cuba Gooding movie. Called Jerry Maguire, directed and written by Cameron Crowe. When Crowe was writing that movie and wanted to find out what is the life of a sports agent like, he turned to my next guest because he is probably the most famous sports agent in history. His name is Lee Steinberg, and he's now written about that career, both the ups and the rather severe downs that he has lived through, in a new book simply called The Agent. Lee, thanks for joining me here today on America Weekend.
My pleasure.
I don't want to talk about the movie yet. I got to ask you about Super Bowl weekend instead. You've had some Super Bowl experiences with players who you've represented. What is the day before or the entire weekend like from your point of view?
Well, from my point of view, if I have players in the game, I've prepared them for the fact that the Super Bowl is the biggest marketing event we have in America. It can take a athlete and transform him through the celebrity making machine in a way that transcends the narrow genre of hardcore sports fans and makes him a household name. So you want to prepare your athletes for how they interview and how they get through, and then they count down a couple days prior to the game and stop going out at night and shut it down. And the only surprise was we hold our Super Bowl party today, and 1 year Ben Roethlisberger, who was playing in the game the next year, came. But other than that, they're in semi-seclusion.
And what do you hope for from one of your players? Obviously, you want him to win, but you probably have had people on both sides of the ball in a Super Bowl. So what are your hopes for that player?
If he can be the MVP, and it helps if he's the quarterback, then it's amazing. So Troy Aikman walked on the field in Pasadena back in 1993, and he was Troy Aikman, very good quarterback. He walked off Troy Aikman, name and likes, and he's still doing endorsements today. Steve Young had the same experience the year after. You know, he'd been in the shadow of Joe Montana, and I remember him running up and hugging me and saying, "The monkey's off my back, the monkey's off my back." And then he went on after six touchdown passes and that MVP performance against San Diego, and he's still doing commercials today. So it's got the opportunity to be really life-altering.
Did you represent anybody who wasn't a star, like an interior lineman, an offensive guard?
Offensive linemen were actually very good clients if they could play a long time, because they get no praise from the outside world. They only get blamed if they give up a sack or they get called for holding. So they tend to have to develop really good personalities and character. And the interesting thing is that in the new passing game, four positions have vaulted to prominence and economics, and it's a shutdown corner who can shut down the passing game. It's a defensive player who can rush the passer. It's the left tackle or whoever protects the blind side and the quarterback.
Well, speaking of shutdown corners, what did you think of what happened with Richard Sherman in the last week or so, and what does that mean for his income possibilities?
It was a marketing act of genius. He took a page from Miley Cyrus's twerk, and he twerked his way into becoming last week the most talked about person in America.
Yep.
And now he was an obscure cornerback. Now the way the game will play out, the only way that Seattle has a chance is if that secondary can slow down Peyton Manning. So he may be center stage again. I always ask our clients to be role models and retrace their roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional community and set up charitable programs and try to spread good values. So from a teammate standpoint, it sucked all the air out of the Seattle room and focused it on him. But from a marketing standpoint, he made himself center stage, and were he to perform dramatically tomorrow, it would mean endless amount of endorsements, even if it's the anti-hero endorsements.
Yeah, although if Seattle wins this thing, it's more likely Russell Wilson's going to Disney World, right?
Russell Wilson or Marshawn Lynch. But again, if the play focuses on the secondary and something dramatic happens to slow down Manning because no one slowed him down, it would put a spotlight on the defensive backs.
I want to talk about African-American quarterbacks for just a second. I was in Washington, D.C. when Doug Williams took the Redskins to their Super Bowl victory, and I remember the ridiculous questions and the way he was treated, but you were actually there long before that in the late 70s with Warren Moon at a time when African-Americans weren't even thought of as being able to play quarterback in the NFL. How did you help him fight that?
Well, there really was a deep underlying prejudice that said that the positions in the middle of the field, the so-called thinking positions, quarterback, center, middle linebacker, and safety, shouldn't be filled by blacks. And Warren went to Canada for 6 years, proved himself, and had the good fortune. We timed it so he came back when the USFL, the CFL, and the NFL were all competing for him. And he was the first real free agent in the NFL because they didn't have it then. And he comes back as a mature player playing the most critical position, and he ended up signing the biggest contract for any player in the league and played 17 seasons and was the first. I had the privilege to present him at the Hall of Fame as the first African-American quarterback in modern era to go into the Hall of Fame. And he really broke a lot of barriers because it got young players thinking, you know what, I don't have to play basketball, I don't have to play tight end, I can be the quarterback.
Yep.
And you started to get 6'4" blacks, not scrambling 5'10" people who ran the wishbone.
Is that stigma still around in any way?
No. I think that pro football is so victory-oriented and so pressure-filled that the question is, can you be productive on the field? I mean, I even think football's ready for a gay player to come out. Again, the focus is, can you help the team and help us win? And that's about it.
You've been representing NFL players or prospective NFL players since 1975. That was an era when concussions were, you know, push him under the pillow, just send the guy back in. And yeah, he got his bell rung, but he still has to play. Nowadays, we're talking about it in very different terms. How are your former clients doing?
Well, they're doing fine, but I had a crisis of conscience back in the 80s because I was representing half the starting quarterbacks in football. They would get concussions. We'd go to doctors, ask them how many is too many, what's the trigger number for retirement. They had no answers. So I held a series of concussion conferences in the 1990s with the neurologists, and we made recommendations, none of which were adopted. So Warren Moon and I did it again in 2007 with the Concussion Institute, and then we had neurologists telling us 3 or more occasions, exponentially higher rates of Alzheimer's, premature senility, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and depression. I called it a ticking time bomb and an undiagnosed health epidemic. And what I believe now is this: the very act of an offensive lineman hitting a defensive lineman at the inception of every football play causes a low-level concussive event. So you can have an offensive lineman walking out of football, 10,000 subconcussive hits, not one of which was diagnosed, none of which he's aware of, and the aggregate of that does much more damage to the brain than getting knocked out 3 times. So suppose 50% of mothers know this and tell their kids you can play any sport except tackle football. It won't kill football. It's an existential threat to the makeup of it now. It'll just change the socioeconomics of the same people who play football who box.
Do you think the NFL's changed its mind and is doing a better job in that regard?
I mean, they've passed baseline testing. They have more awareness. They're stricter about return to play. But look, all a current helmet does is protect against skull fracture.
Right.
There's a new one by Tate Technology that actually has a compression system that absorbs the hit, dissipates it, and drops it the energy by 50%. we need to continue research into that and to ways to diagnose on the sidelines the subconcussive hits so we don't return the player to play. We need nutraceutical and pharmaceutical solutions to either prophylactically protect the brain or to help it once it's been injured.
And well, I know, Lee, that you have worked on this substantially, and I congratulate you on that and on the career that you write about in the new autobiography, The Agent. Lee Steinberg, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.